Well, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and we're talking about the name of Jesus. And I would encourage you, if you don't have these three books that were mentioned, The Wonderful Name of Jesus by E.W. Kenyon, The Name of Jesus by Kenneth E. Hagin, yeah, The Name of Jesus. And then the other, The Name, name Above All Names, I think it is, right? By Kenneth W. Hagin. I would encourage you to get those books and feed upon them. I'm not sure which ones may be e-books. I know we have making them available in the bookstore. Some may be downloadable. You can certainly check that and see if you prefer that method. Glory to God. Did you get to John 3:16 yet? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." It's important that we believe in the name. When you do that and you confess the name, you're baptized into the name. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we take on all of the rights and privileges of his body. Now, this past two lessons we talked about and went through, and you can go back and get those messages in the bookstore free of charge. And we talked about the inheritance that Jesus obtained. He obtained a name by inheritance. We looked at that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. He obtained a more excellent name by inheritance. And then in verse 5, it says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee." And we walked through the scriptures to see on what day that was. What day was he begotten? What day was that? And of course, you can look at Acts 13 and verse 33, and it talks about that on this day. It said, "God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." So he was begotten again, or he was begotten when he was raised from the dead. That's when he begot that wonderful name. That name, he was seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. He was seated above the angels, above every name. Hallelujah. He's seated there, the highest place in the universe he's given. Amen. And he inherited that name. He was given that name. And of course, we can see, and today we're going to see, that he obtained that name through conquest, so that it was his conquest over the devil that secured him that name. Hallelujah, his conquest. And we'll walk through that to look at that. So we can see that when he came to this earth, he put aside, he gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. So you can see here, he walked this earth. He was God. He took on a human form, a human body, but he put aside all of his godly privileges, as you would say, and he operated as a man in this earth. But it wasn't until he was separated from God with sin, and he took the sins of this world and went to hell, and on that, when justice was satisfied. And there's a scripture that I want to read because it's a particular translation that says it, as far as I'm concerned, it says it, you can't say it any other way better than this. And let me just get there and read this to you. Well, we'll get there. I don't want to get sidetracked on that. It just came up in my heart to read. Well, we'll look at it if I find it. I have it here, but just hold a second. Yeah. Romans 4:25. It says, who was delivered for our offenses, this is in the King James, and was raised again for our justification. In other words, we were made right with God because of the offenses that he took. He was delivered for our offenses. But I want to read this in the Young's literal translation because it says it in a way that I think is accurate and very accurate. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. Wow. He was raised up because of our being declared righteous. What does that mean? That means that when justice was satisfied, when all the sins were paid for, God said, that's it, let them go, raise them up. In other words, when we were declared righteous, he was set free from hell. See, that's a whole different meaning. I love this particular verse because it says in the King James, he was raised again for our justification. That's true. But the Young's literal translation says was raised up because of our being declared righteous. That means when sin was paid for, he was raised. Hallelujah. That means sin was paid for, sickness was paid for. What it also means is that when justice was paid, he could not be bound by the devil anymore. He stripped off principalities and powers and spoiled the strength that they had. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's take a look. Well, let me read these two particular scriptures. You don't need to turn there. This is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 through 23. And it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we can see here the name of Jesus is inseparably connected with salvation. It's connected with it. I know you know that. We're just making some comments here. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. Any other what? Any other name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Now think about this. The world, the devil through the world, is trying to get to the place of questioning Christianity. Questioning, because when you can question Christianity, then you can question all of the foundation that it's built on. You can question the name of Jesus. And so God is looking for a people that will stand up, because if we can question the name, then you can question, if you throw the name out, no one can be saved. You see, that's the insidiousness of it, that the world doesn't want Jesus in their business. So when you begin to question Jesus and the name and Christianity, then you begin to say, well, hey, I can do what I want. I can live the way I want. I can act the way I want. But I believe the Bible says otherwise. That if he is Jesus and he is Lord, then he has a right to be in my business. So let's turn over for a moment to Ephesians chapter 1. We kind of ended here last Sunday. And I believe, I was speaking to Pastor Sarah, and the Lord has given her some wonderful revelation. We were talking the other day. And I believe it ties in right here in what the Lord was giving her, and I trust that God will prompt her at some point to share that if he so desires. But Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17, says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in what? Let me tell you something. When you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, it's a different place. I believe that that's how the apostles walked. They had a revelation of the name of Jesus. There was a knowing. That word, when you see that word know in the Bible, that word means an intimate knowledge of something. Sometimes they use the word intercourse. There's an intimacy. There's a knowing of something. That's different than you go, well, yeah, I know. We're not talking about an intellectual knowledge of something. We're talking about an intimate knowledge of something that you've experienced, you know. And so I believe the apostles had that. And that here, Brother Hagin talked about this, that he said he was prompted. He had an unction or a direction to begin to confess this particular scripture verse. Verses 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 through 23. And confess that every day. He said he did that for 6 months. And he said the amount of wisdom and revelation that he began to receive from God in that 6 months was more than he had received in all the years that he had been in ministry. So there's wisdom and revelation to be received from God, but we need to ask for it. We need to ask for it. I'm going to say this, that we can come to church and we can holler and have a good time. You can sing songs. But until we have an intimate knowledge of Christ. See, the devil will keep us all busy coming to church. You know, we had church today. He's afraid of the name. And he's afraid that you'll know what the name is. Why? Because he was beaten by him. He was stripped by him. He knows the power that's in the name. All power, what does he say? He said, death and hell have been given to the Lord. He said, he holds the keys. Now, when somebody holds the keys, that means they've got the authority. And the devil doesn't want us to know it. And so I would encourage us all, begin to pray this. Just begin to pronounce this and begin to say it on a personal level. I believe that I've received a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I believe that I am knowing and my eyes are being enlightened, and that I'm knowing what is the hope of his calling. And I am knowing what is the exceeding greatness of the riches of that inheritance in me. And I am knowing what is the exceeding greatness of his power, which he did what? He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So when we begin to pronounce that every day, we're not talking about something that you feel, well, I feel it. No, we're not talking about feeling something. We're talking about you making a profession, a prayer, begin to say it, whether you want to or not, feel like it, see something or not. Say it by faith and see what God will do. Now, when you begin to continue down here, in verse 20, it says, which he wrought in Christ, who? In Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let me read this from the Moffat's translation. You can find a lot of these different translations if you don't have a hard copy of it. You can certainly buy it if you're a Bible student. I find them online. So you can find them online and read them that way also. It says, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation for the knowledge of himself, illuminating the eyes of your hearts so that you can understand the hope to which he calls us, the wealth of his glorious heritage in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power over us believers, a power which operates with the strength of the might which he exerted in Christ, raising from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavenly sphere, above all the angelic rulers, authorities, powers, and the lords, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Now, this is the piece I like. He has put everything under his feet, set him as head over everything for the church. I like what the Moffat says. It says it's for the church. Jesus was exalted, set at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions, for the church. The church, which is his body, filled by him who fills the universe entirely. Now, when you go back and you look at verse 20, when it says, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. You'll notice that his name is mentioned in connection with him being raised from the dead. What name? That name that's above every name. When? When he was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. So you can see here, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That name has all the authority, the power, the dignity, the majesty, and all the glory that Jesus the person has. The name stands for that person. Just like we heard from the floor, the Holy Ghost said that just like a bride takes the name of their spouse, what have we done? We've taken on the name of Jesus. We've taken his name. I am a Christ I am. I'm a Christian. I've taken his name and all that comes along with that name is mine. Hallelujah. So you can see here in Paul's prayer in verse 20, what we read in 21, he stated that God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenlies far above principalities, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Jesus obtained that name by his conquest of these principalities, powers, and mights and dominions. Now let's look at two particular scriptures I want to look at. Hebrews chapter 2. We looked at this last week. I think it's worth looking at again. Hebrews chapter 2, and let's look at verse 14. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same." He took on flesh and blood. "That through death," I'm sorry. Yeah, he took on our flesh. Yeah, he partook. In Hebrew, and I believe in Romans chapter 8, it says he came and took on the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. But this says here that through death he might do what? Destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. He destroyed him. He's not going to. He is. He has been. Hallelujah. So you can see here, and in some of the translations I read last week from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, it talks about he destroyed the devil's hold on death. That's the Message translation. The New Living says, "By dying, could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death?" This particular translation, it's a Dewey Reams, but it says he might paralyze him. He's been paralyzed. Him that held the dominion of death, that is the devil. Goodspeed says, "By his death, he's been dethroned." The devil's been dethroned. He's been paralyzed. The Moffat's translation says, "By dying, he might crush him." Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Complete Jewish Bible says, "By his death, he has rendered him ineffective, the one who had the power over death, that is the adversary." He's rendered him ineffective. And that's what the devil doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to grasp a hold of that. He will lie to you and tell you, you know, and condemn you. And tell you, you don't have any power, you don't have this, you don't have that, you might as well just give up. He's the one that's been dethroned. He is the father of lies. You've been given the name that's above every name. In heaven, in earth, and under the earth, you are the one that needs to step up and say, "Get out in the name." Yes. We need to step up and get, as they say, in his face and remind him that he's been paralyzed. We need to remind him that he's been dethroned by the master. We need to remind him he's been crushed and spoiled in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, we all walk through this earth in this flesh, and we all have times when thoughts come. We all walk through when it looks like we're not going to make it. But that's the very time you need to get up and say, in the name of Jesus, you will not stop me. In the name. Because it's in that name that he was defeated. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? The cross. The Amplified says, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made, a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it the cross. The New Living says he disarmed, stripped off the spiritual rulers and authorities. Now, the 20th century New Testament, I like this. It says, he rid himself of all the powers of evil. He stripped off from himself all of the evil powers that had him bound. He took our place. And so when we became born again, we took on that name. All power is in that name. And everything that Jesus won is at my disposal. In the name. But I'm going to say this. This is why it's important that we make an affirmation. We make a profession of faith that God give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? The knowledge of him. In what he did. Because it's that rhema that's going to put you over. See, you can't just say, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. We're not talking about being a parrot. We're talking about somebody that releases the name. And it says, his word is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder between soul and spirit. When that name comes out like a sword, it's going to change something. It's going to put the devil on the run. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And think about this. The same demons and devils that he stripped and paralyzed and destroyed and put down and overcame. When you read Ephesians chapter 6, it says, for we wrestle, who? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the same demons he beat. He beat them. And so when this says we wrestle not, this is the same ones he overcame. These are the same ones he spoiled. He put them to naught, and we took on the name. We need to get them out. Move them out. They've been paralyzed. They've been defeated, but they don't want you to know that. They want you to think that they're big and bad. They've been defeated by the master, and we've taken his name. He's given us power of attorney. What does that mean? I'm acting here on his behalf. I'm acting in his stead. When I use his name, they tremble. It's just as if Jesus was speaking here in this earth. I'm his voice piece, his mouthpiece. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us, what? From the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It was his spoiling the principalities and powers, putting them to naught, overcoming them and defeating them, that he delivered us from the power of darkness. He was able to deliver us because he defeated them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Another particular scripture. You know, when you start to look at what Jesus accomplished, and you look at what was revealed to Paul and what was accomplished, we begin to have a better understanding and a better insight of what we have in the name. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. I'm going to read from the King James and then the Moffat's translation. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me get over to chapter 2. And verse 6. Well, let me back up. It says verse 5. Let's see. Wow. Well, let's start from verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, when you have a revelation of Jesus, then here, this is what he said. He came in weakness and in fear, much trembling. But his speech and preaching was not with what? Enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should what? Not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. Now look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the what? The princes of this world that what? That come to naught. Them dudes have been defeated. They're stripped. They've come to naught. Let me read this in the Moffat's translation. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. It says, we do discuss wisdom with those who are mature. Only it is not the wisdom of this world or of the dethroned powers who rule this world. They've been dethroned. Jesus dethroned principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. They're dethroned. They're stripped. But he doesn't want the church to know it and walk in a revelation of Jesus and his name. Hallelujah. Turn to Romans 6 for a second. Romans chapter 6. See, when you have that revelation, sin will have no more dominion over you. Romans chapter 6. It says here, when I wrote that, when you've been born again, and you know you have, and you've become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I've become the righteousness of God in Christ, then I will dominate sin. Sin won't dominate me. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Well, let me back up here a little bit. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That means justified from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, what? Dead with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. So if it has no dominion over him, it has no dominion over you. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Listen. Likewise, reckon ye, who? You reckon also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in what? Your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The devil is trying to deceive people into thinking that they can't get out of sinful lifestyles, when in fact, he's the one that's been stripped and defeated. And all one needs to do is to stand up and say, no, what does it say? Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what I was saying. When you become born again and you know that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus and you are alive unto God and alive unto righteousness, you will not let sin have dominion in your life. You just won't do it. Doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake. I think that's the thing. If you make a mistake, you just say, okay, Lord, forgive me. I move on. And if you make, I don't care if you are stuck in a habit. This scripture verse here, what does it say? Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. To me, that means, if you're stuck and you keep committing something over and over, and you're falling in something, you begin to reckon yourself dead unto sin. You say, Lord, I believe I'm free from this. I believe that I no longer have a desire to do this. You keep doing that even while you are stumbling. Because at some point, there's going to be a knowing that I can't do that anymore. That's what Paul was praying. He said that the Father of glory would do what? Give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need to pray and just say, Lord, I believe that I receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I no longer give my body and my members to unrighteousness. I walk holy unto you, O God. See, the devil will tell you, you're just a liar. That's not a lie. You're making a public profession of faith and asking God and beginning to decree that what? I'm alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should what? Obey it in the lust thereof. We just make a choice. I'm not going to do that. And I let the power of God reign in me. I let it. How many? Don't be worried about that. Just keep your attention on me. You know, people get distracted by the goofiest things. Don't worry about that. Because it doesn't bother me. We need to let Christ reign in us. We need to let the name of Jesus reign and begin to remind the devil that he's defeated. Remind him that he's stripped. Begin to walk in the authority that's in the name. Brother Hagin used to say it this way, become more God inside minded. Don't be moved by what you see. I believe that when there's a revelation of that, what does the scripture say? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's the evidence? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So I may not see something in my life. I may not see that I'm walking in victory in every area, but faith says I'm delivered of this. Faith says I'm no longer stumbling in this anymore. Faith decrees from your heart the promises of God. And the Bible says that the devil's been stripped. He has no power. What does that mean? He has no power to make you do something. The power and strength of sin has been broken. Death has been broken. And so because of that, he can't make you do something. When you feel like, I just got to have that, you just say at that point, you say, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to act this way. Hallelujah. Let's turn over just as we close here. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John 4:4. You know these scriptures. It says, you are of God, little children. What are we? We're of who? See, sometimes we just read right over that. Yeah, yeah, I'm of God. I'm of God. I'm a little child. I'm of God. This says, you're of God, little children. And what? Have overcome them. Because what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater. That means he's been dethroned. He has no power over you. The name has power over him. Romans 8:37, it says, nay, in all these things we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. I like what Peter said at the gate beautiful. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What did he have? The name of Jesus. What do you have? The name of Jesus. Such as you have, give you to the world. The name of Jesus. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the devil just doesn't want you to know or find out about this name. He doesn't want you to find out about it. He doesn't want you to have a revelation of the one who dethroned him. He doesn't want you to know that power. He doesn't want you to walk in it. And when you do, nothing, no thing will conquer you, because he's already been conquered. He's already been dethroned. And you will walk with that mind and heart. I walk into this earth fearless because I serve a God that's not given me a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And the power is in the name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have this new covenant, this new testament sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He went away and he did what? He left us his name. Hallelujah. So we must have a revelation of that name. We need a deeper revelation of the name of Jesus. Now, that's going to come by spending more time meditating on the covenant. And that revelation, that knowing, will come from that. He will provide the Holy Ghost. The entrance of his word bringeth light. That revelation, that unfolding and enlightenment is going to come as we walk through and meditate in those scriptures. And predominantly, Brother Hagin said it for I don't know how long. He said, get all of the scriptures that say, in him, in whom, in Christ. Take all of those scriptures, because that's what's yours. And when you begin to take all of those particular scriptures and you meditate on them and read them and feast upon them, your heart will become enlightened. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Revelations 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Glory to God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The name of Jesus is greater than any name. I'll tell you, you may feel down in the dumps someday. You may get up and say, I just don't feel like going on, feel like going to work, feel like going on in life. Start speaking the name. Just start to speak the name. And that which is causing you to be feeling the way you do will just lift. It'll lift. It can't stay where the name is being pronounced. You know, I was reading in one of the books, it was talking about Smith Wigglesworth, and he said that this particular, I don't know, he was talking about a Spurgeon, he's a minister of the gospel, and he was saying that he had to go do a funeral. And he said this young boy was 16. He was a minister. He was staying in this house. And he said a call came for this young child, a very young child. This was years and years and years and years ago before we have the medicines that we do today. Sometimes they can be almost a hindrance in some ways. But he said this pastor's wife and this young boy went to the house. And he said he prayed every prayer he knew to pray. He did everything he watched everybody else do and got no results. And he said the minister's wife just began to sing Jesus. Just began to sing the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they did that for a while, and all the symptoms just ceased. And then he said they came back while they were there, and he said he did the same thing. He prayed everything he knew to pray, laid hands on her, cast the devil out, did everything he watched everybody else do to no avail. And he said this pastor's wife began to just sing the name of Jesus again. And he said while they were singing and lifting up the name of Jesus in song, all the symptoms left. The power that's in that name. The devil doesn't want us to know it. And I believe the church, in a sense, has gotten hoodwinked in some ways to the use of the name and the power in the name. And if we get back to almost what I would call basics, just use the name. Faith in the name. Amen. You get into a tough spot, call on the name. Use the name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Let's just read this as we close. I like these particular scriptures. And John 14, let's just read that, John 14. And verses 12 through 14. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And John 16, verses 23 and 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. What does he say? Ask. That word ask means demand. Require of. We're not demanding God to do anything, but we're demanding that this cease in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And always get God's direction where things are concerned. Those that are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. So part of the having the eyes of your understanding being enlightened is knowing when and how to use the name. Being directed by the Spirit of God. Without his help, we can do nothing. Amen. Glory to God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm finished for today. Amen. But use the name. Spend time, you know, begin to just take some scriptures. I know there's, Brother Hagin has a little book. You can get it in the bookstore here. Just a little $1 booklet, In Him. And I believe there's other books that he has, In Him, that list all of the In Him scriptures that you can feed upon. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the revelation and the light that's coming into our spirits concerning the name and all that the name has accomplished. We thank you, Father, that in him we have been seated with him in heavenly places. We thank you that in him we have dominion and authority over the devil. We thank you that he's not going to be dethroned. He is dethroned. He is spoiled and stripped of his power. And we thank you, Father, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And we thank you, Father, that with fearlessness we'll use that name. And we'll take this area for Jesus. Hallelujah. At his direction. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.